Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Happy to be here with you all. It seems like quite a while since I've been here. In fact, I was sitting here remembering being here in the winter time when it was cold and my feet were cold and I was half sick, taking chills, and was just contrasting that with today's setting. It's a reminder of the passing of time. And how quickly things change with time. I was blessed this morning in coming into the worship service. And coming in ahead of time and noticing how many people were sitting down. And quietly meditating, praying, whatever. I think that's a blessing. It's a good way to prepare for a worship service. And may God bless you for that. This morning, as was Brother David talked about, is Father's Day. And I'd like to speak to fathers, but I realize that misses some of our men in attendance. Turn with me for a starting verse to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. I'd like to notice something here that Paul said to the Corinthian church. He had to correct many things in the Corinthian church. There was things that were out of order. There's things that were grossly wrong. And he had to tell them how to deal with it. And here he says, 1 Corinthians 4:15, he says this to them, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And what he means is, this church had lots of people who could get up front and teach, but they had few fathers, spiritual fathers. And so this morning, if you're not a father of a family, the church needs fathers. The church needs fathers, spiritual fathers, men who can visit, men who can build relationships, men who can reach out to others. This morning I've titled the message, Courageous Fathers, and I'd like to start with the verses from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was called of God to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. It was into unknown territory. It was into a place where there would be giants. There were dangers that they would face. There would be hard work. There would be days where they would sweat and toil. There would be days where they would be cold and chilly. There would be some losses. And as you read the conquest of Canaan, you realize that not every man that crossed the Jordan River was kept safe all the way through the conquest. There were some who lost their lives. This was a long job. It did not just happen in one day or 2 days, but it took a while to conquer Canaan. It's what Joshua was called to do. And I'd like to just read verses 6 through 9. God talking to Joshua, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I know that's to Joshua as he is about to lead God's people into the land of Canaan, but I thought of those verses when I thought about what do fathers today need. Fathers, we need to take courage. And there would be some parallels between what Joshua faced and what it means to be a father today. There's four things that I'd like to notice from this passage and about courage. And then I'd like to look at some areas that we need to take courage in. The first thing that I notice from this passage is that it takes courage to actually lead people. It takes courage to lead people. It would take courage to go by yourself into the land of Canaan. But it's a little easier to hide, to get around. It's a little easier by yourself. But when you lead people and you need to give direction, and others' experience is affected by your choices, it takes courage to lead people. Average men can be a father, but it takes courage to lead a family after the ways of God. There is a difference. Courage to face issues and not run away. Courage to not ignore and let things slip. Or courage to not go down in despair. Those are some temptations that we face as we lead. It takes courage to actually lead people. Number two, it takes courage to diligently obey God in our day. He talks about being careful that all the book of the law is followed and that there's faithfulness. The law is not supposed to depart out of his mouth. To meditate and to observe, to do, takes courage to diligently obey God in our day. It's much easier to float along with drift. Float along with what is average and common and kind of normal. It takes courage to go upstream. It takes courage to stand. Faithfulness in family life is not commonly found in our communities. Look at the divorce rate. Look at the broken homes, the hurting children, and all that goes with that. Well, you can look at families that, you know, mother works away, father works away, children are put in babysitting places, and all the impact that that has. It takes courage to diligently obey God today and to follow God's plan. Some, because of not having courage, feel like they're not able to have a family, feel like they don't want a family, feel like it's more than they could handle. It takes courage to diligently obey God in our day. Number three, it takes courage to rise above fear and doubt. Fear and doubt. Being a father can be overwhelming at times. The future can be uncertain. The pressures can be great. Fear is that kind of panic feeling that I can't do this. Doubt is that ugly, dark cloud over our minds that it's not going to work. And it won't have a good end. We doubt. We doubt maybe God's ability to help us. We doubt our ability. And it can really be ruining of our spirit, of our experience. It takes courage to rise above fear and doubt and to think better things. Number four, I'd like to remind us that God is the source of our courage. When I think about this subject of courage, and I think about encouraging fathers to take courage. Courage is, perhaps there are times when we find the courage within ourselves. We brace up to take a shot. We know it will be painful. I don't like dental work. I don't like the pain of a needle going in through my gum. And so I just have to take courage and it'll be okay and just kind of brace up. When I talk about courageous fathers, God is the source of our courage. Yes, we need to pull our mind together. We need to discipline our thoughts. But we don't have enough within ourselves, alone within ourselves, to be all that God wants us to be as fathers. So God is a source of courage because he is all powerful. When we look at that, then we say, well, if he is my God and he has all power and he will go with me, then I'll take courage. That's what God was doing here to Joshua. He was saying, Be strong and of a good courage. I will be with thee. You will divide this inheritance unto this people because I promised it to them. I will be the God. You will be my servant. And you will do my work. And in the end, my word and my work will be accomplished. Just take courage and do your part. Because God gives us grace for each day, then we can keep on going. So in the end, when Canaan was conquered and the land was divided, who did it? Joshua or God? Who gets the credit for victory in the land of Canaan? Well, God was their God. But Joshua had his place in standing there and leading and you know, going each day in the power of God. And then it was the work of God accomplished by men on earth. God wants us to take courage. God is the source of our courage. Let's take courage today because there is a God. There is a God. And he has something in mind for all of us. And especially today as we think about fathers. I'd like to think about some areas that we as fathers should take courage in. Take courage. We should look to God and say, God, give me the courage today for this aspect of being a father. Number one, let's take courage in providing for our families. Providing for our families. Now that might be somewhat of a commonplace statement. I'm talking about, yes, about making a living. Providing. That's where we spend a high percentage of our time and energy making a living to put bread and butter on the table and to pay the rent and to keep fuel in the vehicle and repairs made. Take courage in providing for our families. Don't get weary in well-doing, but not only making a living, not only bringing a paycheck home, but also providing for their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, their social needs, their relationships, providing for our families. Paul told Timothy, "For if any provide not for his own, and specially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And so we are each called to provide. Take courage in providing for our families. Providing. Sometimes it requires rising up early to get to the job. Sometimes it requires staying up late. Working when we'd rather be elsewhere. You know, I think as I watch society, many people have a job because of some other love, some other pleasure they want to indulge in. Many people live so they can buy that next thing. And the humdrum, the challenge, the duty of being a father and earning a wage for the family doesn't have much glitz and glory in some of those people's minds. And sometimes you hear those little jokes about a married man that, you know, his family takes up all of his finances. He's not free. He's tied down. And we have that kind of pressure pushing on us to put off having a family so we can be free, so we can have even good things. You know, there's some pressure today that couples would put off having children so they can be missionaries and they'll spend time on the mission field because a family gets in the way of being a successful missionary. And there's children and there's duties and there's... That's a wrong concept. Listen, I'm talking about taking courage and providing for our families. Rise up as men of courage to provide for our families in the middle of, well, busy life. Duties that demand us. And let's love to work to provide for our families. Love to spend time to provide for the needs of the family. Yes, sometimes we get weary and tired. A recliner chair is nice to have at the house after a hard day's work. And we need that. We need that rest. Take courage in providing for families. In their emotional and social needs, we need to be there for them. Talking with them, learning what they are facing, and walking with them on those journeys. So take courage in providing for our families. Number two, take courage in protecting our families. Home should be a safe haven from evils and harm. Should be a safe place for children to grow up. It should be a place where there's not so many bad influences. There's not a lot of corrupting things happening. We should watch the influences that we bring in. What about the magazines? What about the catalogs? What about those kinds of things that come in the mail and find their way into our homes? And children are fascinated at learning about what's out there in life and new things and what's the world doing and what does that mean? And let's be careful. Our homes, let's take courage in protecting our families. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Nurture and admonition. There's protection there. There's a good setting. And we need to be careful because our own children have carnal hearts. And we need to understand that. Just because we don't let the neighbor children play with our children unattended, and just because those people with exposure to evil, just because we've cut that off, just because we're careful with that, doesn't mean that our own children won't get into wrong things. Because they have carnal hearts. They need the protection of parents or mentors. If parents need to be away, somebody responsible to watch out for them and to give them direction. And so take courage in protecting our families. What about the influence of relatives who don't love the Lord? Family gatherings, children play together, spend time together, and what kind of influences happen there? What about the influence of bad associates, friends? And, you know, maybe some of those things are seen first in things like bad language. Children pick up on the words that the neighbor boy says. And maybe they'll repeat those words. We wonder, where did you learn that? Well, I heard the neighbor boy say it. What about bad jokes, bad stories, bad influence? Take courage in protecting our families. Protecting them and knowing what's happening. And sometimes things happen that shouldn't happen. Sometimes there's something bad happens and they get exposed to something they should not be exposed to. Makes extra challenge for us as parents to walk with them and help them to process it and find their way through. What do you do with that? What do you do with that bad word? And how do you get victory over it? Well, sometimes it requires some extra effort. In turning, rolling back the influence that shouldn't have been there, that came in and got a hold of them or influenced them. Number three, we should take courage in leading our families, in actually leading them. There's things like schedules and plans and needs that must be addressed. Someone must decide. And sometimes it's a call to be a moderator, to raise the questions in the family. So who's going where today and what's happening and when will we be back and who's, you know, somebody taking the lead. Order and rules of decency and respect are needed. Fathers, we should take courage in leading our families. Leading our families in just how we play in the house and treat the building. Just what we do at the table. Someone needs to lead. Father, we need to lead. Take the courage to say, look, that we don't do at our table. Take the lead, because if no one takes the lead, if we let family grow up just however they feel best at growing up, you know what happens. You know what happens. We cringe sometimes when we go out in public and, you know, we want our children to do well and have manners. Well, it will only happen if we took the lead in home life and let out in those things and addressed those things and talked about those things and with patience working with them and being a good example. And so let's take courage in leading our families. We know that Ephesians 5, when Paul talks about Christ and the church, he says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. As fathers, we are to take the lead. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that headship order as well. Take courage in leading our families. Sometimes the reason mothers get out of their places because we as fathers are just not doing it. We're just letting it slip. We're just silent. We're just ignoring it. And someone needs to give some kind of direction. I believe as part of this point, we should have courage to form a vision of what God wants for our family. What does God want for your family? What does God want our children to look like today, to act like? Our youth growing up, what does God want? So that we can represent His kingdom in our day to day. Do we as fathers have some idea of what that should be? What it should look like? How the family should relate? God wants children who embrace faithfulness and keep the faith. We can know that that's what God wants from our families. God wants children who are growing up who learn to honor authority and respect authority. Children who love the church. That's what God wants. He wants children who learn to sacrifice for the kingdom. Who grow up to say, there is a God and I want to do something for Him. I want to be a part of His kingdom. And I want to be there to bless His kingdom and reach out to others. God wants us to have children with personal convictions, to hold them true to God and His word in the changing scenes of time around us. I had to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego holding true under that test of the fiery furnace. Away in a foreign country. That's what God wants us. God wants us to be raising Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. Daniels, who say, I don't want to defile myself with the meat of the king. I need something different. And speaking up and standing up. Perhaps in our homes we have children growing up who would just love to go live in the king's house and drink his wine and eat his meat. Just can't wait till the day they can taste those things. Is that really what God wants? Take courage in leading our families. Number four, we should take courage in providing worship experiences. Take courage in providing worship experiences. Times when we worship the Lord together. Family worship should be a treasured time. Church services should be enjoyed and experienced. And as fathers, we need to take the lead in those things. And you know, the saying goes that the family that prays together stays together. Children need an example of mom and dad loving God and loving to worship God and, you know, having their own time of Bible reading. It's good for children to catch dad sitting on the couch reading his Bible or praying. It's good for children to see that. Children need some home worship time, times when our family connect with God. Take courage in providing worship experiences. Number five, take courage in discipline issues. Children must be taught to hearken. Hearken while they are young. They must be taught to obey. Recently, a man was telling me about his German Shepherd dog that he has at his house. And he said this. It's a very protective dog. He would probably It would probably tear you up if you entered on without his presence, if you had forced your way into his house. And he said about his dog, he said that he liked this dog right from the start as a pup. But this dog had a lot of bad ways. He said, I send him to the trainer, and in about a month, he had him well behaved. He's house trained. He's a protector dog, but he's well trained. In about a month. And I was thinking about child training. It doesn't happen in just a month. Of course, they're not just dogs either. But training, take courage in training. Children must be taught to hearken. And if our pets can be taught to hearken, surely children who have a mind to think and connect the dots, children who we can have a relationship, surely they can be taught to hearken as well. It's God's plan. Take courage in discipline issues. They must be trained. Children must be trained to love and respect others. Their carnality must be trimmed and brought under subjection. It doesn't just happen. It takes some training. So we must take courage. We must have a relationship. As fathers, we must have a relationship of love and trust to be able to do this training. If we don't have a relationship, training is very difficult. Child training. So take courage in discipline issues. Children need the kind of correction that clears their conscience. The kind of situation where when they have disobeyed, there is a calling in account. And I know there's a variety of disciplines that we use at times. God give us wisdom to know what to do for little infractions of our directions or larger things. But children need the release of facing the issue, father or mother sometimes, but fathers calling the question saying, look, this is not obedience. You disobeyed. And then whatever correction, and then clearing the air that it's over. It's not just held against. We can't go through life with this kind of thing with our children where they feel like they're continually filling a bag of grievances that one day will need to all be cleared up with some big event of crushing them. We can't do that. That's not what God has in mind. It will hurt children. But we need to, as events happen, as we discover events, it might be 2 or 3 days after it happened and we first learn that this happened. We need to call the question, take the lead, take courage in saying, look, we got to sit down and talk. This is not right. This we don't do. And then clear it. Number 6, we need to take courage in personal faithfulness while under heavy loads of work and duties. Personal faithfulness. Our own walk with God must be maintained. We must be a faithful example for our family, because if we are not keeping the faith ourselves, we will not be able to lead others of our family in keeping the faith. We must be a faithful man for our family to count on. We must be consistent. Part of faithfulness is consistency. Consistent at home and in public. Sometimes that confuses children growing up. If somehow at home anything goes, and I realize there's some difference between a relaxed situation at home and, say, a church service. I understand that, and that's appropriate. But consistency, that the important things of obedience and of all that goes into life, respect and love and appreciation and how we treat others, those things are the same call at home as they are out in public. Personal faithfulness, consistency, consistency in our own lives. If we ask more of our children than we do, that won't work. It won't work. If we want our children to get up early and do their chores on time before breakfast, then I need to get up before breakfast and get my chores done and be an example. It's a tremendous bonding experience when there's things like that, there's chores, there's things like that, and fathers get up with their sons and tackle that, walk with them in it. or mothers get up with their daughters and do those things. It's an example, it's a pattern, it's a teaching, and it makes precious memories. So take courage in personal faithfulness while under heavy loads of work and duty. We must know how to control our own spirits. Our own spirits. We must know how to love and forgive and be patient and kind. We must know how to act when the stress levels go through the roof, we say, and something is happening that really shouldn't be happening. And we must know what to do with those things. Part of this, we must take courage in keeping our marriage vows, being a faithful man for our wife, faithful to what we promised. Faithfulness. Faithfulness while under heavy loads of work and duties. Sometimes Satan would tempt us that because of all this work that I must do, because of all the duties, then I deserve a little bit of cheat time. I deserve some indulgence because I've got so much to do. And that's not true. It's not true. Let's take courage in personal faithfulness. And number 7, the last one, let's take courage to lead out in the church when called. Take courage to lead out. You would think that being a dad is enough of a job. It really is. It really is. But family responsibilities prepare a man for church responsibilities too. Good church leaders often have had some practice working with children growing up and the challenges of family life. And as we look at the qualifications, you know, you can go to 1 Timothy 3. And he doesn't say that church leaders should be men who have raised their families so that they don't have the burden of raising a family and working in the church. But he says that one of the qualifications is one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And he gives us this pattern, and he says that actually family life is one place you see who a man is. And when you see a faithful man in family life, that's who you need for your pastor and your deacon and your bishop. And it's one of the qualifications. And so take courage to lead out in the church when called. Take courage to have your family represent Jesus. As a church leader, it's important. It's important. It takes courage to labor and endeavor, find God's will for where should I be putting my time. You know, there's times that we have to say no to something in the church because there's some needs that need addressed in the home. And there's some times that we need to say no, I need to go away tonight to address some needs in the church. And that's not easy to know what to do with that. God will give us wisdom, but take courage to lead out. Don't run from it. Don't go down in despair. Don't feel like it can't be done, but seek God's face and walk with Him. And may I remind us as fathers this morning that family and church are eternal investments. And when you get to heaven, and we have our families gathered around us, and our congregations gathered around us, well, we'll be gathered around Jesus. I don't know how that'll be. But imagine having family and church family present in glory. Suddenly, all the things that we pursued, the nice house and vehicles and retirement funds and all, suddenly those things, well, they'll be burned up. They'll be burned up. And I know this morning it's important for us to provide for ourselves and make provisions, have some kind of idea how we can do the best to care for ourselves as we get older. But I'd just like us to remind us this morning that in America it is so easy for us to put the almighty dollar so high that we don't know how to give the appropriate time and energy to family and church life. And we just need to realize when the day is long, the work is hard, the challenges are great. Part of the reason is because it has eternal values. It has lasting impacts. And therefore, the work is hard. Things that are valuable don't come easy. Things that have lasting value, you can't just secure in a couple seconds. That's why we need courage today. And so let's take courage to lead. Let's take courage to be fathers and leaders in whatever way God has called us to be. And God will bless us and make us a blessing through this life and will give us the grace for each day and the duties that come our way. Those that conveniently can, let's kneel for prayer.